To accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Newcomers, is there anyone in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you.
Welcome. Glad you're here.
On Zoom, you can raise your hand and someone will chat with you. At this time, please silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism by taking AA's simple actions. AA Preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of people who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open big book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And speaking of the step, we are on step 11. Please welcome our panel this evening, Robert and our own David. I will read the first paragraph that starts on page 85, and then each of our panelists will share for a few minutes on the reading. All right. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly. It works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter, yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken.
All right. I think I won the toss backstage. I'm an alcoholic. My name is David.
Hi, David.
Grateful to be here and grateful to be sober tonight. Welcome anybody who's new. If you're an alcoholic, meeting with Alcoholics Anonymous is a fantastic place to be. Alcoholics Anonymous really only has two commodities. One of them is a practical program of action. They stuck numbers on it for geniuses like me. And the other is a group of people that'll walk with me every single step of the way. You guys say, I always say I'm grateful to be here and grateful to be sober. And that is the absolute truth. I'm happy sitting in this chair with you in this room right now. No place I'd rather be. So I've got a sobriety date. It's October 24th, 1989. I was 28 years old when I was separated from alcohol for what I hope to be the last time. I first met you guys when I was 22. And I thought I had a few better ideas. Sure, sorry, you old guys got to turn in your fun card. I got some other stuff. And so I spent 6 years trying to treat my alcoholism by drinking. I've treated my alcoholism by not drinking. I've treated my alcoholism by gym memberships, diet, exercise, girlfriends, towns, jobs, books. I love self-help books. Love them. I love the feeling of leaving Barnes & Noble with a bag full of brand new books. And I don't want to read any of them. I just enjoy the feeling of how my life's going to be after I read these damn books. And I just end up getting busted and disgusted and drunk and disorderly. And, you know the drill. And I ended up 6 months sober and suicidal when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous for what I hope to be the last time. So there's a path that really goes somewhere. And we're talking about step 11 tonight. I can't really talk about step 11 without talking about step 10. Step 10 and 11, I think, are some of the most specific instructions about how to conduct myself from the moment I wake up to the time I go to bed. Every moment of the day, the instructions are in here, and they're stupid simple. There's nothing to argue with, you know? And if I start talking passionately about this, I don't want to give anybody the idea that I'm even good at it. But what I no longer believe is there's something else to be done, you know? I can claim persistence. I can't claim consistence. I want to be consistent. I want to be a consistent guy. I'm just not, you know, but I keep coming back to this over and over again. So Aaliyah and Amy talked about step 10 last week. And just really quick, I'm not going to go over all that stuff, but here's the daily instructions for step 10. My walking around day to day, moving around on the planet, dealing with you, dealing with me. Continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. We say a prayer. God, please take this fear, this dishonesty, this selfishness, this resentment. We discuss them with someone immediately. We make amends quickly if we've harmed someone. Then we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. And then he gives me a code of conduct for the day called love and tolerance. That's my mission for the day. And then where we find ourselves tonight, when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Was I resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Because I was supposed to continue to watch for those very same things all day long. Have I kept something to myself which should be discussed with another person at once? Because it told me to discuss it immediately with somebody if any of these things came up earlier in the day. Was I kind and loving toward all? Because you gave me a code called love and tolerance with which to conduct myself throughout the day. Was I thinking of myself most of the time, or was I thinking of what I could do for others, what I could pack into the stream of life? So I like to, people call this a nightly review. Some people call it nightly inventory. I don't care what you call it. I think of it as it's in the chapter on meditation. So I think of it as a nightly meditation. I also, to be helpful to anybody who's new, I had meditation all mixed up with time. Right? People will brag about it in AA. I'm up to 29 minutes meditation, you know? And I thought, like, and I'm not poo-pooing any of this stuff. Like, I know people who've got some really super uber cozy meditation spaces that they've created that have or decorated the way they want them and have all the right cushions and all that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with that. I think that's dope. But the trouble with a guy like me is that I think I need to do that before I can start meditating. And the old timer said to me, he said, meditation, David, is just whatever you're thinking about. Whatever you're thinking about is what you're meditating on. And if I start paying attention to what I'm thinking about, if we drew like a pie chart of the time that I spent thinking about God, thinking about packing things into the stream of life, thinking about what I can do for you, or thinking about little David, I would be embarrassed to show you my pie chart. It's just got a big green David on there with little slivers for all of you bit players in this little scene that I'm obviously the star of, you know. So, but if I continue to come back to that, it's almost like it's saying, so I start paying attention to what I'm thinking about. I notice that I think about myself all the time. You tell me to quickly and resolutely turn my thoughts and attention to other people. As soon as I notice that stuff, God, I'm back self-obsessed again. I'm thinking about the money. I'm thinking about the honey. Please remove this and direct my attention to what you would have me be. And then my mind, if I just leave a little pause in there, just the tiniest pause, maybe two deep breaths, my mind will just fill up. So-and-so picked up a white chip last night. Why don't I give that guy a call? This other brother's struggling with some stuff. Why don't I say a quick prayer for him? Maybe give him a call. My mother's going into surgery next week. why don't I call her? And then it puts me, resets me back into action towards you. But it's almost basically saying that if I've really done my 10th step, not well, but at least persistently throughout the day, I can answer these questions pretty well at the end of the day. You know, was I thinking about myself most of the time? Sometimes I was. I did deliberately turn my thoughts and attention to other people. I did turn my thoughts and attention to contributing something to the workplace, contributing something to the meeting, bringing something to the people who called me, offering some sort of comfort to somebody in the moment when I'm with you. And then it says this beautiful question, what could we have done better? You ever, you know, I don't know about you guys, man, whenever I ask myself that, what could I have done better? And again, two deep breaths, my mind just fills up. I could have been a little more patient today. I could have listened. I was talking to my friend and I was waiting for them to shut up so that I could go do something else. I could have paid more attention. I could have been softer with my kids. You know, I could have left 5 minutes early for that thing instead of leaving at the last minute and hating everyone on the road. You know, there's always, my mind just fills up with things I can do better. Now, I know people that write that stuff down at night. I have written it down at night. I'm not good at that. I'm open to it, but I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I do. But the more that I do this work and turn in this direction, take my inventory, face the truth about me, confess it to you, offer it to God, turn my thoughts and attention back to you. What can I do better? And then he says, after making our review, we ask, we pray for forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures. Lots of times, again, that's just a deep breath, a little bit of quiet, and those things come in. Usually, next time, keep your mouth shut. I don't know about y'all. Most, like 90% of my amends could be avoided if I just shut up. I don't do that much bad stuff, but I say terrible things. thank you for chuckling. Sometimes I feel like the only one. So that's it for that. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing, David.
Thanks, David.
Rock on. My name is Robert. I'm an alcoholic. I got to tell you that I love AA. I really, really do. I love the people. I love the atmosphere. I love the serenity it brings, the quality of life it brings. It's just a really good thing to be a part of. And I'm an alcoholic, which means even to this day, if you give me something that I like, I want more of it. Luckily, you guys just showed me a way of living that's entirely better than what I had, and it's really good. So I just want more of it. So I just keep coming back. I like to call it like a symbiotic relationship, right? AA to me is all about relationships. I always crave for deeper relationships or nicer relationships or healthy, God forbid, healthy relationships, right? But how am I to do that when I'm all stuck in self? And step 11 really goes ahead and gives me personally, I'm looking at David's book and I was listening to him share, and I love what he's done with the book, because for me, I do the same thing. This is a new book. This is the third big book that I have, because I abuse the things that I love. So the other very first one is all in pieces, but I transfer things over and over. And then for the very first time, because as David was sharing, he said something about consistency and stuff like that. And I can easily get distracted with squirrel or shiny object. So I was asked to do service work and ask very specific questions. And really, I just highlighted some things and wrote some things down. And ironically, I could just sit in my discussion with ditto what he said. Because really, step 11 for me is a few things. They ask very specific questions. They ask me very specific things. And then basically, it's just a review. This is before the big test. This is how this brain operates. You give me 9-10 steps, right? And now we're going to have a quiz. And at the quiz, it's every night you get a quiz, because hopefully, in some measure, we perform love and service, which is step 12, right? Being of service to other people. Just not in AA, but in our world, because I damaged a lot of people. Most of the people that I damaged when I was drinking probably wasn't in AA. No. So I need to be of love and service to all. But specifically for the alcoholic still suffering, either if you're new or if you got 15 years, it's a journey. So there's going to be some dark valleys throughout this thing. Now, it's not all doom and gloom. There's a lot of beautiful peaks and a lot of great things to be a part of. And I don't want to miss that. But I will miss that if I don't do these steps. Step 11 is very, it's designed for somebody, very simple for somebody like me, and encompasses a lot of the steps. Specifically, step 10 for sure, because literally on the previous page, they're just really tricky with it because I'm a knucklehead. So they tell me on step 10 to go ahead and they switch it up a little bit on somewhere. It's on step 10, actually. I think they reverse it. They're like selfish, resentment, and dishonest. But in step 11, they're like, aha, so you don't get bored. We're going to go ahead and switch up the words and put resentment, selfish, and dishonest. The little tweaks like that, it's really geeky. I'm kind of a big geek when it comes to AA because it's a gift that keeps giving. The deeper you go, you're like, oh, man, I've been here for, throw some time on it. And like, I never discovered that, or I never heard it. I have ears, but I don't hear, right? So that's why it's really important that I keep coming back. That's why it's really important that I do this on the daily. And it's super important that at the night. Now, my nights are jacked up because I still work third shift. So as you people are retiring for night, saying your prayers and meditation and drifting off to dreamland, thinking about love and service, I'm starting to get thrown into the mix of work. So I pray before. So I do my morning meditation at night and my night during the day. So it's kind of all jacked up, but what a great place for somebody to be. AA is a great place for people that are jacked up. I'm not alone. So it is awesome. And I really do like the depths of it because it's a little bit for me. And that's the cool part about AA. Here's a big mountain peak we all want to do. There's a big jam fest up there and we all need to get to it on our own. And we hopefully we were roughly in the same perimeters. We will help each other along the way. And it's all, you know, kumbaya stuff. There's a little bit of step 9 in there too for me. Because on awakening, I'm thinking about the hours ahead, right? Can I be devoid of self-pity and self-seeking, which is in step 10, but also in step 9 and also in so many of our literatures, it's repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. But it's really about taking that pause. It's really about like, hey, the day's done or the day's beginning, whatever. And let's just breathe and think about all that's going on. And can I be better? And it's just a beautiful thing to be a part of. I'll say this too. I think if we think about our day, wait, did I skip over? We're only on the first one, right? We're on this one?
Right.
Okay, cool. And look at me not following instructions. Yeah, that's it for that one. That's it for step one or part one of that.
All right. So, Thanks, Robert. Thanks, David. Robert, you're a good alcoholic.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Section 2, page 86. On awakening, let us think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for the day. Before we begin, we ask God to redirect our thinking, especially asking that it be divorced from self-pity, dishonest, or self-seeking. Under these conditions, we can employ our mental faculties with assurance, for after all, God gave us brains to use. Our thought life will be placed on a much higher plane when our thinking is cleared of wrong motives. In thinking about our day, we may face indecision. We may not be able to determine which course to take. Here we ask God for inspiration, an intuitive thought, or a decision. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We are often surprised how the right answers come after we have tried this for a while. What used to be the hunch or the occasional inspiration gradually becomes a working part of the mind. Being still inexperienced and having just made conscious contact with God, it is not probable that we are going to be inspired at all times. We might pay for this presumption in all sorts of absurd actions and ideas. Nevertheless, we find that our thinking will, as time passes, be more and more on the plane of inspiration we come to rely on.
David? Alcoholic still, David. So we just woke up. It always annoyed me. He says, on awakening, let's think about the 24 hours ahead. We consider our plans for today. But before we begin, I'm like, well, why didn't you put that first? We ask God to direct our thinking, and in a practical way, I'm just going to share what it looks like for me. Go to God first, get to God fast, right? And if you're sitting in here and you got issues with God, I know what that's like. God, as you understand God, I'm lazy. I call God whatever you understand God to be, but get to God first. And I do this direct my thinking thing in between snooze alarms. I don't know why I think that's adorable. My alarm goes off and I smack the alarm and I go, God, please direct my thinking. And then I crash back out again. So I'll do that. And then I can't think of the last time. I can't think of a time in the last 15 years that I haven't rolled out of bed onto my knees. Just first thing, somewhere along the way, I realized that I had to do it or I would forget. I'd be halfway running the show in the middle of my day. Oh man, I don't think I prayed this morning. I roll out of bed onto my knees and I say some said prayers. Lots of times I'm connected with them. Sometimes I'm praying that third step prayer verbatim and thinking about something else already. I don't know about your mind, but mine is just ready to dominate the world. You know, scared to death of what's coming. Trying to figure out what it needs to avoid, you know, or acquire, you know. And meanwhile, I'm praying. But I roll out of bed onto my knees. God, direct my thinking. And then I'm to have some quiet time. And I do this in a practical way. I'll make coffee. And then I usually sit down with coffee and a book. I got some things that I read. And I just try to be very quiet. I can't claim verbatim all these little prayers that are in here. I just don't. But I think about my plans for the day. I look at my calendar. What have I said I was going to do today? I got my coffee. I'm prayed. I'm breathing. I'm quiet. I look at my calendar. And then I just sort of imagine myself meditate on walking through those things. And can I bring something to that appointment? Can I bring something to that meeting? Can I bring something to this scheduled phone call with my client? And I just have some time with God and my day. And get synced up with the idea that I'm here to serve. Reclaim that third step position. I am a servant. I am the child. I'm the actor. I'm here to do something for you. I at least try to start that way. I love this bit about, if I'm not sure, I ask for inspiration. And he uses the words inspiration a whole bunch of times. And that's one of those words, right? It can have like connotations. I don't know. People were raised with it. Maybe have bad ideas about it. I don't know. But I find it to be a really embraceable term, an inspired term. I talk to men all day long, sponsees call, they're working with other people and maybe they don't know what to do with the other person or situation. I have learned to ask, what are your thoughts? What do you think you should do? You know, instead of just dumping the problem out and then me competently and articulately describing what you should do next. Well, what do you think? What are your thoughts? I trust your inspiration. You know, you're working with that dude, right? I trust you. You and God are in the room with that guy. I can give you my experience, but I'm not going to tell you what to do. You're in the room with that guy. It tells me to relax and take it easy. And I know when I'm in the position, I know when I'm in it. I know when I'm relaxed and I'm focused on the idea that I'm here to serve and that there is a God and I'm not it and I'm connected and I've got some things to do today. I have like this confidence that I'll just have what I need when I get there. So it's already fine. And it feels easy. It feels like dancing, no matter what it is. Even impossible days, back-to-back schedules feel easy. When I'm in the chair, when I'm running the show, you're a minute late. You call me a minute late, or whatever. You know, I didn't make the light. I'm in conflict with people, and I'm the opposite of relaxed and taking it easy. I'll tell you a quick story about inspiration. My mother is in the phases of basically failing with Alzheimer's, and she needs management. She needs care. She needs a bunch of stuff. And who better than me to get in there and roll up my sleeves and get shit done, you know? And so I negotiated with Alzheimer's. I managed Alzheimer's. I fought with it, argued with it, rolled up my sleeves and went to war with it. And I was coming back from Stanton, summer meeting. And my mother lives in Richmond. So I pull in the driveway in Richmond and I'm in my head. I got to check on her medications. I got to look in the refrigerator. I got to make sure, you know, see if she's got gas in the car, see if her car starts. I mean, I'm just going through the whole checklist of everything I got to get in there and do, baby. And I opened the door. And because I'm selfish, I didn't tell my mother I was coming because I didn't want to commit. So I opened the door to my mother's house and she sees me and she bursts into tears. She's so happy to see me. And I was immediately filled with inspiration and grace. I'm not here to manage this woman. I'm here to love this woman. And that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I just went in there and I let her tell the same story three times. I answered the same question six times. We got dinner together. I let her tell the same stories from my childhood six times. And we laughed and we cried. And it was absolutely the right thing to do, to just be there and love this woman. Not correct her, not manage her, not handle her. Just love her. And all of that did not come from the control tower. It did not come. I told you what the control tower was doing. It was going in there, get shit done, handle it. And something came up from inside that I can rely on that said, no, not today. Just love this woman. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing, David. Thanks, David. One thing that I really love about AA is when David first started to speak, he talked about self-help books. This is not a self-help program. This is a WE program. And what we do is we do get a cheat code for life, which is really kind of cool. In case you don't want to really study hard, just do this. But we share. We share from the heart. It's the language of the heart. We share how this practical application works in our lives and what happens when we don't. That's okay, too. We can share that, too. You don't have to drink over jacking things up. I'm a fine example of that. I've jacked a lot of things up, and I'm still here, and I've done a lot of decent things. But all of this comes from this book that gets me in touch with what? A higher power, if you choose. Don't care what you call it. I call God like David for two reasons. One, things change over my journey in time, and I'm also very lazy, so God works for me. Or higher power. There's no need to be run out of the thing for words. And what David was sharing, I really appreciate that story because of love and service. And how am I supposed to stay sober today? How can I stay sober? I very much like AA because I relate to people. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and I'm going to fight. I'm going to fight this disease. I'm going to beat this disease. No, I'm not. I personally think, only for me, I have zero chance of staying sober today as I did when I walked into the door 18 years ago. And I'm powerless over this disease. Here's a shocker that's only my truth, might be different than yours. I'm powerless over everything. Hooray! So that is awesome, which could lead and feed into my defeatism. I'm a very passionate man myself, and I love being inspired. I love getting big. Let's go do this. But that kind of distracts me from my mission here in AA. You give me a purpose. I'm a floundering ship. You give me a purpose. The purpose is love and service. Now, of course, I am a child. I am a man child. And as the universe goes, I'm a very young child. So that means I'm going to go ahead and take control. I'm running up the control tower. I cannot wait to steer the ship. And what happens is, yeah, it's a ride. I'll give you that. But when I relinquish that control, this higher power, higher power, higher. We're in step 10. We're talking to higher power in the morning. We're talking to him at nighttime. We're even during the daytime in step 10. Higher power, higher power. Well, it seems to work a lot better. It's easier and simpler for me. And what I need to grow is effectiveness, right? And understanding. So what does that mean, understanding part? Do I need to understand everything? No, it does not. For me personally, the step 11 part really, really heavily pushing on, I am not in control, God is. This is almost reminiscent of step 1, 2, and 3. I am powerless. There is something that has more power. Maybe I should let him, her, it, or whatever you would like call it, I call God. Maybe I should just do that. The step 11 is a repeat, repeat, repeat. It even actually taps on, for me personally, step 5 and 6 in the first reading, because I'm going ahead and take all of me. That's a scary prayer for me. Step 11 has a lot of deep meaning to me because I want the outlook to be good. I'm a judgy son of a gun. I will judge what is good and bad. I'm not God. What I think is bad might be the benefit for others. And that's difficult for me to come to terms with. I struggle with that at times. If you're doing poorly, or if somebody's doing poorly, and I see that as bad, I need to do something. You're right, I do. I need to be of love and service, and that's it. The results are not mine. The results are not, as much as it pains me, as much as I cry, as much as I scream, I get angry. I'm an angry dude sometimes, you know? Doesn't mean I'm not spiritual, but I'm a human being that has human things. When somebody suffers, I want that to stop now. And God forbid, if somebody else is causing that suffering, I'm from Jersey, right outside of Philly. I got a great way to finish that off. You know, we just drop a, you know, drop a few elbows, bring a pipe to the situation. Look, that person stopped suffering, but I brought suffering to another person. And I think I know. I think I know. I love to jump in that God seat all the time. Maybe what I do for bad or what people do for bad, God can turn to good. I don't have the answers for everyone in this room. And I'm really glad that I don't. Your experience is yours, mine is mine. We share this, we get sober one day at a time, we call it good. But this step 11 goes ahead and tells me over and over again, it becomes a gradual working part of the mind. It supersedes what I came in with. I came in as a feral animal, very reactionary. I can now, what they've mentioned a few times, pause, take direction, good orderly direction, if you want to call God that. That's great, awesome. We can do that, or I can do that just for today. And step 11, once again, pounds it into me again and again and again. I will mess up. I can make an amends for that. It's not looking for, I don't think A plus students get somewhere any more than the D students. C's get degrees, people. We stay sober one day at a time, get yourself a C, stay for another day. And that's okay, because even when I mess up, if I'm doing this step 11, if I'm doing the step 10, if I'm doing all of them, hopefully it's not a smorgasbord. Maybe I'm doing 1 through 12 as best as I can, right? Maybe it's possible that my screw up, that I want to beat myself up because I'm not a perfectionist, but say I was. I'm like, oh, I could have done that so much better. You know what? Maybe somebody's struggling with the same thing. I stayed sober with this. I screwed it up, but I stayed sober. Maybe I should just stare honestly. You know, and maybe that's the inspiration they need. Maybe they don't need the shiny message like, oh, my bank account is great. It's not. My relationships are great, which it is. One out of two ain't bad. Maybe I'm sober. That's a big bonus for an alcoholic that cannot stop drinking on his own. That in itself even trumps a relationship, which I'm in love with. This is really good stuff. Keep coming back, Robert. Keep staying focused. And it's so easy for me to distract. Maybe that's why they're telling me in the morning, at night, and of course, step 10 during the day, all the time. And I love, love, and adore the fact I will never get back. I can never give to AA what you have given to me. If I lived for 200 years, I will not be able to give back to you what you've given to me. And it just spreads. And I'll shut up with this because we've got some more reading. My alcoholism, right, is just pretend like if you ever seen like a bomb or an earthquake or whatever chart you ever want to look at, there's an epicenter of that. And then there's rings that radiate out of it. And the farther away from it is, the less damaged you are. But the closer you are, the more damaged you usually become because of whatever the effect it was. That was me. My disease, I did not hurt myself. I hurt a lot of people. The closer we were to me, the more damaged you became because of my disease. What does AA do? Flip that switch, turn that me to a we. Now I'm the epicenter. I'm not the center of your universe, but I'm the center of mine. I might be the only version of the big book C's. If I'm going to be a decent version, attraction rather than promotion, should I not at least, at the very minimal, do this daily so I can be the better version? It's attraction. I can't get you sober. I have no delusion that I can get you sober, but I can show you what I have. And if that's attractive, you might be like the feral cat or dog, be like, oh man, I've been abused all my life. I don't know. I'm not coming in that house. I know what people are about. That's how I felt. I felt like a street dog or a street cat, right? I know what you're about. You're going to hurt me again. Not in AA. This is a safe place. We leave the door open. We'll keep the coffee instead of milk. I'd prefer milk myself. There for you. Come on in. Stay if you want. We're not holding prisoners, but we do have a solution that works. And that solution points to a higher power of my understanding or yours, showing us how to stay focused and giving our experience strength and hope with some direction. I'll shut up. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay. Thanks, Robert. Section 3, page 87. We usually conclude the period with meditation with a prayer that we be shown all through the day what our next step is to be, that we be given whatever we need to take care of such problems. We ask especially for freedom from self-will and are careful to make no requests for ourselves only. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. We are careful never to pray for our own selfish ends. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that, and it doesn't work. You can easily see why.
Nathan? I don't know that I have much on this, but I noticed that we haven't even left the house yet. There's a lot of work to do in the morning, apparently. So we conclude this period of meditation that we be shown throughout the day what our next step is to be, not for me to figure out what my next step is to be, that I be given whatever I need to take care of these problems, not that I go out there and handle that shit. And again, I pray. I was taught when you see ask, just think pray. We pray especially for freedom from self-will, and we make no requests for ourselves only. Many of us have wasted a lot of time doing that. It doesn't work. You can easily see why. And I guess I will say that I am not one of those people who can easily see why. It's not immediately obvious to me why I can't pray for a little better circumstance. And I'm not sure that I know why, other than that's just another exercise in little David trying to get stuff that little David wants and trying to get God to help him with it, right? Which sort of sounds like the opposite of your will, not mine, be done. That's it.
Thanks for sharing, David. I'm glad I'm not alone again. Once again, let's be sneaky with God or your higher power. God, please give me this good thing so I can show others how awesome life can be. It can be pretty sneaky. I actually really enjoy this reading too, and it's a pretty short one, so you're lucky. I'll make it short. We may ask for ourselves, however, if others will be helped. And other important part is be shown how it is. Once again, it's not a I program. It's not a me program. It's a we program. Is it possible that my higher power puts other kids in my way to see how to do it possibly better? Possibly, if we want to use the word, healthier, how to go ahead and be more effective. It's not a stare and compare like, oh man, I wish I had his AA or her AA. It's not about that for me, at least. It's about, hey, you're doing something that better that works for you. Which, here's the crazy thing about AA. My whole entire adult life, and including some of my journey in AA, it's not a hard wall. It's not like, well, here was before AA and here's after AA, and I just became a miracle, a little miracle right in the AA. It took a long time to wash off crazy, dude. You know, I came in at 32. I'm now 50. It's a process. Take it easy with yourself. Easy does it, but do it. It will come. Follow other people's instructions and experience and strength and hope, and everything will be well. But the cool part about it is to be shown. I do not like lying, consciously lying at least. I lie to myself all the time, unconsciously. And that's the cool part about the 11th step for me. It tells us in the doctor's opinion, I had a conniption fit because, sorry, conniction poop, because I couldn't find out. We have trouble differentiating the true from the false. I could have swore it was in this part of the book. That's why I write things down, because I get confused. And it is in the doctor's opinion. I have trouble differentiating from the true and the false. Once again, it's not a hard wall. It's not like, well, I had that before when I was drinking. Now everything is simple as day. I can see things clearly. I can see my motives clearly. I just am the font of truth. That is not the case at all, people. I'm cash registers, honestly. I know if I'm doing something a little shady, it bothers me more. And I don't particularly like to do shady things anymore, honestly. But I'm a fallible human being. I don't know myself as much as I would love to say. I could sit in a lotus position for 12 years and do Senate candles and think I know myself more than anybody does. That is not true. I am still a product of a higher power, and I can manipulate my own will into not doing my higher power's will. And that's okay. I'm not a bad person. I'm not a terrible member of AA. I'm just a kid that needs help still today. And that's why being shown is so important to me. I don't have too many. I got some pretty trippy experiences, spiritual experiences in AA that are people are like, really? And I'm like, oh, I'm not lying to you about this. This was my reality. There was three of them that were like off the chart awesome. Couldn't replicate them. They just happened to me. And I loved every, those were very dear to my heart. But what really happens in this spiritual experience being shown is you living this program, me taking an honest assessment of myself, me not being my own soundboard and not trusting my own thing, and having a friend. and saying, hey, man, this is what I'm doing in my life today. This is what I'm being of love and service to my higher power, to this program, to be this image bearer. Is this okay? I'm not asking for permission, because I'll definitely go, no, I'm still not that guy. I'm not really big into being told what to do, but I like a conversation. I have relationships today. I have a relationship with David. The first impression he ever made me, we were down in the Alamo. Where's that? San Antonio for the international convention. What a mental goose flesh, man. You got, you know, thousands of people saying whatever prayer it was all in unison. You're seeing this flag bearing procession of people from countries where they would get killed if they knew they were doing AA, right? Because some countries, you don't do AA. You will get murdered for that. But they do it anyhow because it saves their lives. Man, what a feeling of unity. Talking about inspiration. And this dude has beads on him and stuff like that. And he's jazzed out of his mind about this. And I'm like, wow, I was with my friend Jen. She changed her name because she got married. But Jen. And we come across him and I'm like, I'm only like 5 years sober in this. And I'm like, man, this guy's a happy son of a gun. I want some of that, dude. And inspiration, being shown what to do, open my eyes. And there's examples all around. Most of the people are in AA. Some are not. We will get to a part and I'll shut up and maybe we'll get to that part. So yeah, I'm done talking. Let's read some more.
Okay, thank you both. All right. Still on page 87. If circumstances warrant, we ask our wives or friends to join us in morning meditation. If we belong to a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also. If not members of religious bodies, we sometimes select and memorize a few set prayers which emphasize the principles we have been discussing. There are many helpful books also. Suggestions about these may be obtained from one's priest, minister, or rabbi. Be quick to see where religious people are right. Make use of what they offer.
David? Yeah, again, I don't have much on this one. The only, I underlined the last sentence in that paragraph, but I also circled the word also when it says, if we have a religious denomination which requires a definite morning devotion, we still haven't left the house, people, which requires a definite morning devotion, we attend to that also, not instead of. Right. In addition to. Right. And it basically, like in many pages of this book, it's like, there's nothing incompatible with the 12 steps and any religion. There's nothing incompatible with 12 steps and Christianity, Judaism, atheism, for that matter. The 12 steps can get along just fine with atheism. So dig it. But I love the last line where it says, be quick to see where religious people are right. I spent my whole life pointing out where they were wrong. I climb right up on a bar stool. I got a list, you know. And when I start looking at where religious people are right, I start seeing stuff. I start seeing people banging shingles onto roofs and feeding hungry people and gathering diapers for people in need of, you know, I mean, I see stuff going on that I can really get behind, right? I'm still not joining. You know, but I'm not, but I don't have an argument for anybody with this stuff anymore, you know, and I can see where religious people are right. And then a really simple sentence, make use of what they offer, put into practice, put in utility, make use of what they offer. So I like to operate on the intellectual, theoretical, all my mind wants is to understand stuff. And once it understands stuff, it's done with it. It doesn't need to, you know what I mean? It's like, I get how, like, these amends, like if I go out and admit I'm wrong to people and pay the money back and make the situation right, I can totally see how that's going to strengthen interpersonal relationships. It's good for society. It's good for the world. I get it. Amends, that rocks. You going to pay the money back, David? No. It's the doing of it where I fall down. You know, I'm not going to argue with it. I just need to understand it. Anyway, make use of what they offer. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I also too very much enjoy this. It's a simple thing, but there's a lot of weight behind it, in my opinion, or my experience. I like the fact that this is a growing program. We don't just go ahead and stay stagnant. We maintain what we are given, this gift of sobriety that I'm given. I maintain that by sharing with others. The most simple thing about AA to me is I love the circle and triangle. I absolutely adore that. It's a wonderful symbol for me to keep things real simple. You know, recovery, unity, and service. That is our triangle, but it's encapsulated by a circle. And that circle is growing, right? It's love and service. Boom, we're just growing. We're all inclusive. We grow. It's really ironic. One thing that endears me about AA is we're some plagiarizing son of a gun people, man. We plagiarize the stuff out of things. We just write it in language that this street dog can understand, right? If you come at me with the spiritual angle, I will tell you exactly how I feel about that if it comes from a set denomination, or I used to. Now, I'm very much like David shared, I can go ahead and very much like AA itself, right? I can go into a meeting and I hear a lot of like, oh man, dude, I got to write all this stuff down. This is some gold nugget. Then somebody shares. I'm like, dude, are you even sober? I'm judging you. What kind of weird stuff are you on, right? I can take what I need and leave the rest. Very much with other books, self-help books, religious organizations. They tell us in the big book, we're not in conflict with other people. Matter of fact, men and women of medicine, religion, and doctors really kind of saved our bacon in the very beginning. It states it very clearly in our book that we give a huge shout out to all three of those groups. So now why 85 plus years later, sorry, just spit on you, news, not the weather. Why should I now go ahead and say, nope, we're going to go to war with you? How about we just play nice with one another? That sounds a lot more like love and service than, hey, let me point out where you're wrong and my organization is right. I really enjoy that, once again, that tenet of the AA of love and service and all-inclusiveness. And I love also what he said, you pointed out also, right? It's that addition. Alcohol used to subtract everything out of my life. AA adds everything to my life. This is the good stuff. This is what I want to see. This is what I want to hopefully become in some manner or fashion. And you guys give me that opportunity. You don't close the gate. You open up the gate. And that's really important for me. And I love deeds, not words. What are we doing here? Are we really being really good people that know how to read and write and speak real well? Clearly not speak real well, but maybe we can read books and maybe we can say fancy words, but is this a program of action or a program of thinking? I never thought my way sober. Not a single time did I ever think my way sober. But I do go ahead in a program of action, making these things right, being a part of a bigger picture will go ahead and ironically keep me sober. And what's really cool, and I'll shut up with this, is I like big things. I'm a pretty trippy dude, man. I like it big. Let's not figure out. Let's just go with it. Previously in the A's, before he got a hold of me, I think a lot of stuff. Let's see where we go with it. What's the big deal? What's the worst that could happen? What? Where's that childlike wonder when it comes to spiritual matters? What am I going to be hurt with this? Let me try this. Let me see where it goes. I know it's not jail, institution, or death. Not in this country, at least. So, yeah, let's try this. Let's see where this leads. Let's have fun with AA. Let's have fun with life. Avail tears no more, you know? And it's only my prejudice, my attempt prior to investigation will limit my usefulness and my fun. And the really cool thing, I say this like a gazillion times, I always thought that if I wanted a good life, I need to focus on what Robert needs to have a good life. And it never brought me to what I wanted. It brought me to wanting. I never satisfied with what I get. What I do in AA is this. I go ahead and do this program to the best of my knowledge. Most times it's C, sometimes a high B. I do this. I love in service and the byproduct of doing my higher power's will, which is stated in this book, I get a good life. It's just a byproduct. My good life is a byproduct. And me and David were asking each other how we were. We're okay today. In certain areas, we're probably not okay. And that's okay. I can't speak for him. But for me, certain areas are pretty rocky. Going through the valley. But there's a lot of areas of my life that are really good. And what does this program make it? Okay. It's going to be okay. And yeah, I'll shut up. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Robert. Thanks, both of you. All right. Still on page 87. As we go through the day, we pause when agitated or doubtful and ask for the right thought or action. We constantly remind ourselves we are no longer running the show. Humbly saying to ourselves many times each day, thy will be done. We are then in much less danger of excitement, fear, anger, worry, self-pity, or foolish decisions. We become much more efficient. We do not tire so easily, for we are not burning up energy foolishly as we did when we were trying to arrange life to suit ourselves. It works. It really does. And from page 88, we alcoholics are undisciplined, so we let God discipline us in the simple way we have just outlined. But this is not all. There is action and more action. Faith without works is dead. The next chapter is entirely devoted to step 12.
All right, I'm going to do a hot two. So we left the house. You know, I mean, there's a lot of material on retiring at night. There's a lot of material on the morning before I leave the house. But there's not a lot of material on where I spend most of my time with you out here in the world, right? And he says, as we go through the day, we pause if we're agitated or doubtful and pray. We ask for the right thought or action. Dig this. Constantly reminding myself I'm no longer running the show. Constantly. Why does he use the word constantly? Because I'm constantly trying to run the show. I got ideas about how this should go down. Many times each day, thy will be done. So if I'm out there in the world practicing that 10 step, watching for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, when these things are cropping up, I'm praying about it. I'm discussing it with people. I'm making amends quickly. I'm turning my thoughts and attention to others that I can help. I'm trying to practice love and tolerance throughout the day. When I'm tangled up, I'm pausing. I'm praying. Not my show. Forgot it again, not my show. And I set it up earlier about the consistency thing, and I don't even remember if I said it or not. What I have been able to do is persistently return to this. I think whatever God is just thrilled with persistence. Consistence maybe yet to attain. So, but look at this. I'm in much less danger of excitement, fear, worry, anger, self-pity, or foolish decisions. See, excitement is something I like. I can do without the fear and the anger and the worry and the self-pity and all that stuff, but excitement, I like the feeling of being excited. I like that. But when I think about that, if I get excited about something and then you get in my way, now I got a problem, you know? So it's still another form of a selfish attachment, right? So, and if I'm just kind of rolling, reminding myself it's not my show, I'm not wearing myself out. I'm not like a little toddler trying to bang a hole in the Hoover Dam. Never going to happen, right? Anyway, I'll say this real quick. This word discipline, I don't like that word. I don't know. When my children were small, people would always come up and say, how do you discipline your children? And what they really mean, I don't know if it's a Western thing or an American thing or a Virginia thing, but what I think they mean is how do you punish your children? They're not talking about discipline. They're talking about punishment. Mm. And I heard a guy talk about that. Mm. And he said, discipline comes from the root word, the same word as disciple. And what that root means is to teach or instruct. And if I substitute that, I'm going to let God teach me and instruct me in this simple way. I can embrace discipline as a form of instruction and learning, growing in understanding and effectiveness. And then he's got a whole paragraph that has five words in it. It works. It really does. and then he points us to step 12 because I could jam on step 10 and 11 and be floating and meditating, right? Totally peaceful and serene. And it means absolutely nothing unless I'm turned outward in your direction. Thanks.
Thanks for sharing. I'll give it a hot two too, because, you've got things to do other than listen to me, which is probably better. All we go to, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, whatever he said, whatever they read. Excitement, too. I knew a buddy of mine had a dad that was in the program for decades and decades. And he said, yeah, just be careful of that excitement stuff because it's a distraction. It's a big distraction for me because I'll forget the thing. I love the fact that once again, they revisit some of the steps. For me, it's 2 and 3. You know, God's running the show, higher powers running the show, not me. It sounds a lot like step, you know, 2, step 3, thy will, not mine be done. Oh, when can I ever get up to be control tower, right? We become much more efficient if we do these things once again. I have a big, huge I have some notes in here really quick that I'll go through. Things that are important, words that are important to me. Truth. Truth is actually important to me. That's the reason why I came into AA, because somebody called me a liar. That was it. Some reason I came into AA. Not to make my life better. Somebody called me a liar. I'm like, screw you. I'm not a liar. I'll go. And then you got a hold of me. And here I am. Right. Truth is really important to me. Not all by virtue, my friends. Truth. That my truth today, only mine, is God's in control. That's a true statement. God is in control. If I like it or not, that's fine. But that's a true statement. Power. I'm an alcoholic. You know, I love power. Right. To do thy will. God's the source of all this power and knowledge. Right. I can't really do a whole lot of anything without some go-go juice. God's the big gas tank, all right? You have free gas, fill up. Let's go ahead and get some spiritual go-go juice here, right? That's power. I love power. Justice. Some people know that I'm a pretty big fan of justice. I don't like injustice. And I will go ahead and break the law to right what I think is wrong, ironically, right? Justice is to make amend or ownership. So I don't have to worry about this whole rest of the play, all the rest of you monkeys doing monkey things in the circus. It's not my place to judge, although I'd like to be a judge or an executioner. I'm not going to put on airs here. But my thing is to be justice, right? Step 9 sounds a lot like step 9 to me. I make mistakes. I need to amend those things. The rest of you guys, between you and whatever higher power you believe. And then freedom. From self-will to grow in independent understanding and effectiveness. That freedom that I wanted so bad from that bottle, I now find in the pages of a book and by being shown in the experience of other people. The motives matter. The deeds matter. This book matters. This program matters. I matter today. I'm not greater than or less than. I'm just part of a worldwide institution that makes things better. And I'm really about that. I like creating things. I like being a part of something. I don't have to have my name on the placard, but if you guys want to go ahead and have that humanity, yeah, let's go do it up. Let's go do something and be a part of, and you guys make that possible. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
All right, at this time I will pass the seven tradition basket, or actually Grant will pass the seven tradition basket. Thank you, Grant.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
All right, the seventh tradition states every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the seventh tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup or central office, local services, district area, and the general service remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Our common welfare, a word about safety. Our group endeavors to provide a safe meeting place for all attendees and encourages each person here to contribute to fostering a secure and welcoming environment in which our meetings can take place. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements?
Joe, I'm an alcoholic.
Joe! Awesome. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
Any other announcements? Okay. Simple Actions is a home group. If you are interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. And home group members, please raise your hands. Point out that literature is available right over here on the table. If it folds, it's free. If it's got a hard cover, talk to a home group member after the meeting. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be here after we close the meeting. Please feel free to talk to any of us. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt can provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All meeting audio recordings and upcoming events are posted on our website, simpleactions.net. Meeting after the meeting, all are invited and encouraged to join us for fellowship at the meeting after the meeting that will be held at Stella's, right down Colonial. All right, everybody, this time, please thank our two panelists for sharing. Thanks to all who participated. After the Lord's Prayer, everyone will have a chance to say thank you again, or individually or not. And I will also read a vision for you, Big Book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose to you more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.
I like it so fast. I'm down with that.
And let's close the meeting with Lord's Prayer.
Who keeps us open?
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.
See you later, Emily.